Blog Talk Radio.
Aren't tore.
And when I say that, his ligament. He better not have an ACL tear or anything, or the Steelers, I feel, should just hang it up. But looking down the road in the bright side, if you're a Steelers fan, look at it this way. Many teams have fallen in love with their main guy and stayed with him a little too long, and they never really look for that backup. As of right now, you got Michael Vick. He's been around a long time, too. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. When you get a franchise quarterback, it's a lovely thing to have. The problem is a lot of people fall in love with that guy, and one day you got to realize that day is going to come. Either injury, or you're going to walk off on your own accord. Most of the time, injuries do it. Or you get traded, or you get released, and you bounce around. But a guy like Big Ben, who has some Super Bowls and has been the only thing the Steelers have known that's had success in a very long time, think about it. Can most of you recall a quarterback other than Big Ben? Just think about it. You can't. He's a good quarterback, but now he's hurt. Look, all this may be just a sprained knee or just an injury that's going to keep him out 4 weeks. They're saying right now 4 weeks, which tells me they must know something we don't know. 4 weeks. To me, that was the big story of the day. The first quarterback so far, a significant one, that is lost to injury. That is huge. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers fans, I think you know that is a tremendous, tremendous injury. You know, I hope he's better. I hope he comes back. But my God, if you're a Steelers fan, this may be the beginning of a long, long, long time of finding that right quarterback. I tell you who thinks they found the right quarterback is the Buffalo Bills. After getting beat by the Patriots, the Bills just do nothing but travel down to Miami and pretty much destroy the Dolphins. The pick to me, I said, would be a very dangerous team in the AFC. Now, look, it's still early, and I'm not one to harp on a few games and getting ready to call it a whole season. I mean, you got the Ravens. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that are struggling. I mean, you got Oakland with 2 wins. They beat the Cleveland Browns today. In Oakland, are they a team on the rise? Now they're too inconsistent. As far as the Ravens go, when Steve Smith is your main target, I mean, he had 13 catches for like 186, if not a little bit more. He's your main guy on offense. You're in trouble. Nothing against him, but Steve Smith's 57 years old. He's a good 57 years old, but he's old. And if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you are in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Very deep trouble. But I tell you what, nothing to worry about because, like I said, it's a long season. And I'm not going to say anything to a team that I feel can't be there in the final week of the season. But it's a very long season. What's not a long season is high school football. I'm going to talk about this later, but I'm going to have my man in, Brandon Freeman, back in. Yes, he's back. He passed the test. He came on last week, did a good job. He's coming back. He's here to stay. And sooner or later, he's going to have his own show eventually. But as far as high school football here in West New York, boy, is it picking up. After the terrible loss, the 28-0 loss to Orchard Park, Kenmore West has been on fire. And next week's game against Niagara Falls is a big game. It's for the division as far as I'm concerned, but you can't sleep on Hutch Tech. Excuse me. You know what? Hutch Tech in the North. That's the game that's going to decide it. Ken West's defense has been stellar. D'Angelo Walker-Williams is playing good. Terrell's starting to wake up. I think the key to this team is their defense. Their defense, beside Ultra Park, their run defense is amazing. They haven't given up. I bet you they haven't given up 100 yards all year on the ground. The powerful Ultra Park had a hard time running. Yeah, they grind out yards towards the end. Yeah, we're talking some high school football later on, but we're going to get on to the NFL and talk to the Bills with Brandon here. Brandon, you watched the game today. First of all, welcome to the show. You watched the game. The Bills dominated. I didn't see this kind of win coming, but from what you've seen, what do you take from this game? Because I'm not going to take too much. I think if the Bills go out and lose next week, you know, you're back in the same boat, and every team's kind of doing that, you know, dominating 1 week, going, except for the Patriots. They did it again to Jacksonville. And, you know, we can't say Jacksonville was just a pushover because, let's be honest, the Patriots, they're putting up about 30 or 40 points a game almost. So what do you see right now in week three, how things are panning out?
Well, first, thanks for having me. And first, the Bills, I think that this was a much-needed win. They needed to kind of like suffocate the Dolphins to make up for that heart-wrenching loss we had last week. But, yeah, I think people overreact too much around the NFL and all these analysts and stuff. They all just sit here and overreact about a win or a loss, and you just can't get too high. I mean, yeah, it was a great win. We looked dominant on all phases of the game, which is improvements from last week, but you can't get too high on this. It's still early, and injuries can still happen, but it did feel good seeing the Buffalo Bills back to where they were, what we thought they were going to be after week one, and that is a dominant defense and what Rex Ryan, to coin Rex Ryan's term, a magic quarterback that can make plays happen. And you see him with his arms, not so much his leg today, but his arm creating plays for the offense. And just, I hate to use the word manage, but he managed the offense very well today. And it was a good sight for Bills fans.
And that's a good word, manage. He did manage the game. So my question arises, he says, Rex Ryan says earlier in the week, he has faith in E.J. Manuel. You don't make that change now. Even if Tyrod struggles next week, you don't make that change. He showed too much to me so far to say that he's a starting quarterback and he's learning the system. What about E.J. in all this? As the Bills win, and even if they lose, if he looks good, when do you start thinking about E.J.? I mean, you can't keep the guy just sitting there. He's young. He's not going to want to be here. I think as the weeks go by, the more he plays Tyrod and looks good, I think the closer E.J. has to be on a trading block or something. What do you think is going to happen with that whole situation? Because it's going to get ugly eventually. I think it's starting right now.
Yeah, the only way I see E.J. coming in anytime soon is if Tyrod were to go down. We did have that scare, I think, halfway through the game when Tyrod got hit when he was going for a slide, but other than that, I don't see E.J. coming in anytime soon. Other than that, I would be very surprised if he goes through this whole year and at the end of the season, he's not looking or asking his agent to try to get him dealt somewhere, because I believe there are probably 6-7 teams he can go and compete for a starting job. And maybe, like you said before, maybe he's that answer that the franchise quarterback teams are looking for to be the heir apparent to the throne. Because if it's not in Buffalo and Tyrod keeps producing, Tyrod's only a 4-year start, like a 4-year pro. So,
yeah,
I mean, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I wouldn't be surprised if E.J. Manuel's not looking into getting into a situation like Denver or getting into a situation with New Orleans, just a team that has one of those older veteran franchise quarterbacks that are getting up there in age and can really develop under them and maybe push for a starting job.
Tell you right now, Brandon, I see a perfect candidate for E.J. possibly going to and probably starting, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because, look, Big Ben, we don't know what kind of knee injury he has, but if it's a tear, I mean, look, he's going to be out. Maybe he's going to be out the rest of the season, come back. He's getting older, and he only has a few more years left. I mean, let's be honest, he's been in the league a long time, and people forget that. I think the door opened up for at least a conversation with the Pittsburgh Steelers and see what you can get. They're going to be looking for a quarterback. This is a huge blow to them. And I tell you what, if there's a tear, he's going to be out. And I just don't know if they have faith in what they have as a backup. And I think if I'm the Bills, I pick up that phone and say, hey, Monday, if it's a tear, hey, we got E.J. sitting here. You know, we don't want to get rid of him, but, you know, what can you give us for him? I think that's a great option right there.
Yeah. The other thing is Pittsburgh tried out Landry Jones in the preseason, and he didn't fit the part, so that's why they ended up looking for a quarterback in Michael Vick. And if you look at Michael Vick's durability issues in the past, it would be an optimal situation for E.J. The only thing is, I don't really see Buffalo going anywhere without a backup, and I don't see a plan that they have in store. So
yeah,
I don't think they're going to be too quick to jump the gun on trying to trade E.J. because his stock is higher now because he's the second quarterback. But I feel as though they could get more than what they could have at the starting of the season now than back then because of how well he produced in the preseason and just the faith that Rex Ryan has shown in him.
Yeah.
But without any other answers at backup, Tyrod Taylor is a mobile quarterback, and it's kind of scary if he were to go down and your next option is some guy you just signed this past week on a season that you feel like you're ready to win now.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is I feel the more and more EJ sits, the more and more he's not playing in a game. You know, it's one thing to practice and it's one thing to sit there on the sideline during a game, but if you're not in there, you know that changes the whole offense. The offense now has to get used to EJ, and you know, I think it's a bad situation overall for the Bills. Castle letting him go, I kind of get that, but you know, now you have EJ. It's a situation where you better find more backups in the off season or something, because guess what? He's not going to want to stay here. If he doesn't see the field all year, I'm telling you right now, he doesn't want to be here, and I don't blame him. If I'm in his shoes, I'm just counting down, seeing how well Tyrod's playing. If he's playing well, guess what? I don't want to be here. You got your guy. Let me go start somewhere else and start my career over. And I just don't think that there's going to be a situation where the Bills aren't going to jump the gun, but they almost put themselves in a box because they got to get somebody. Because right now, CJ, you got rid of Castle. EJ's not going to want to be here, and I'm telling you, I'm shocked he can't do nothing now, but I'm shocked he's not kind of complaining because he did. I mean, he lost his job fair and square. He went in ahead of Tyrod. Tyrod took his job from him in the preseason. So, I mean, I don't know where or how the Buffalo Bills even consider putting him in. It's like you said, if Tyrod is injured, still, I think there's no use for him. If his stock is high, you get something for him. But you got to make sure you have a backup. Look, there's always a drop-off when you have a backup. I mean, look, when you go from Tom Brady to whoever the heck they got now, it's a drop-off. If you go from Tyrod to EJ, is it a big drop-off? I think so, because now Tyrod's starting to get in the groove, and he's actually playing, and the offense is responding to him. Like you said, he managed the game. I mean, how many times, if EJ is quarterback today, do we win by that score? I don't think so. I really don't. I think Tyrod's starting to learn this the offense real well, and he's managing the game, like you said. And like I said, look, a lot of things can happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but I tell you what, if I'm EJ, I'm looking at the door saying, okay, when do I go through it? Tell my agent, look, I'm going to give it 7 games. If he's doing well and the Bills are winning, I'm not going to ever start here ever again, only due to injury. And then when he gets healthy, I'm back on the bench. So I think you have a good point there, but my point is this guy got to go if Tyrod plays good. If we're in week 8, and the Bills, I don't know, 6-2. There's no way he's playing. No way. And there's no way he's going to want to be here because by now, at that time, the fans, the coaches, the NFL knows Tyrod's the guy. I mean, I just don't see it. I feel bad for him. I just know this is going to blow up. It hasn't blown up yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, I think it just speaks volume about his character that he hasn't said anything about it because he is in that predicament where – Tyrod is playing well enough to, I mean, beat Miami, who people thought at the starting of the year had one of the best defenses in the league, and they're beating them 41-14, putting up big plays and a huge amount of points. But EJ would fit in a mold like Pittsburgh, but I feel like he's the prototypical quarterback that Greg Roman wants. People always say it's Tyrod and it's the mobile quarterback. I think it's more of like the – I mean, you have EJ's stature and you have his semi-mobile ability, but most of the time you see him running the play action very well. I think that's his strongest suit. And I'm going to have to disagree with you on the whole thing. If Tyrod's not in there and EJ's in there, we don't win by that score. I feel like EJ would have been that good, if not better. I feel like EJ, and people have harked me a lot about this, but I think EJ should have been given a better opportunity in the preseason and possibly even the week 1 starting job because of how well he played. But like Rex said, he likes his guy and Magic, Tyrod Taylor, and it really creates a buzz in the fan base. But I've always believed EJ was just in a wrong system. What you got to look at is EJ came from Florida State, and what do they run there? They run a pro-style offense with him under center. He gets to the NFL level, and mind you, Florida State's one of the only colleges that actually run a pro-style offense. All the other colleges mostly run – spread. He gets to the pros. He gets drafted by the Bills, 16th overall. Immense pressure to live up to Jim Kelly's shoes, for crying out loud, because we haven't had a quarterback, franchise quarterback since then. And then what does he get thrown with? He gets thrown with an offensive coordinator and a head coach that just came from Syracuse in a college system. And about 75%, if not more, percent of his plays were run out of shotgun. And I think that EJ's
feet work were awful. I was the first to admit that the way he threw the ball looked bad. But every single time you look back at his rookie season, you look back at some of the games like Baltimore against the Patriots, his first career game. Every single time he puts it on the numbers if he's doing three-step, five-step drops with play action. So I think it's more of a system fit for him. He just got put into a bad situation with going into a spread offense when he came from the pro-style offense in college, and he didn't really adapt that well into that offense. And now that he's gotten his chance under center, and you saw it in the preseason, I think he had the most tied for the most passing touchdowns in the preseason, and he just played lights out. And you can say the same thing about Castle and Tyrod. But I just felt like Manuel deserved a real shot because I think the first 2 years were not as good as people should have given him credit for because of the system he was in.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But also, you have a fact of a new head coach coming in. He wants his guy, per se. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. But that's more reason for him to possibly go, because the more I think about it when you were talking, he didn't get that full chance as a number one pick. He was pushed to, just face it, he was pushed aside fairly quickly when Tyrod had one good game, if you think about it. And then Tyrod kept getting a start, and next thing you know, he's the guy. So, yeah, pro-style offense, I don't know where he goes, if that's the case, if he's a different type of offensive quarterback. There's a few quarterbacks who run that, but, yeah, the spread offense is not good for some guys, and maybe that's him. Maybe it's not the right system, so more so that he may have to, hopefully, if he gets a chance, it's still going to be the spread, though. So if that's not his kind of offense, I mean, that even gives me more reason to say, okay, this isn't working out here. If I'm the agent, we'll go ahead and make that move. The reason I harp on it every week, because I see it's going to happen, I kind of feel bad for the guy, and I'm thinking he's young. He is a good quarterback, and he could be good somewhere, but maybe it's not here. Maybe it's not here. Maybe it's go somewhere else. I got a quick question. I'm watching watch a few games. I tell you, there are some pretty good teams that are slowly coming up. I think the Cincinnati Bengals, to me, Dalton's looked phenomenal so far this year. And I'm not a big Cincinnati guy at all. I didn't like when they got him. They're playing good. And I tell you, the Bengals, I think this is a good team, and I think they're going to continue being good. I mean, Green, 227 yards, receiving today. I mean, you watch them, and then you watch the Colts barely getting by. And, I mean, you got Tom Brady going over the 400 TD milestone. I mean, there's lots of good stuff going on here. But the Bengals, that's my new team, I think, because I like A.J. Green, and I think it's a good team. So what do you think about the Bengals finally doing something in the playoffs? Because they always look good during the regular season, and they fail in the playoffs. So what do you think this year? I mean, they look pretty good to me.
Yeah, what they need to remember in watching the playoff games from past seasons, you see them kind of strafe away from the run game, and I feel like that's always been their strong points. And now they finally have that big tight end in Tyler Eifert, and he didn't do that much today, but for the past two games, he's had a touchdown in each one. He had that monster game week one against Oakland. But their defense will always be solid. They always have the front four of, you got like Pecco and Dunlap and all those guys up there. But then their offense is finally starting to come together because they're relying more on the run game. And I feel like that's what they do more in the regular season than they just try to keep up with the big quarterbacks in the postseason. And it just never ends up working for them. He tries to have like shootout matches with Phillip Rivers and Andrew Luck, and it just hasn't really worked out for him. But you have two of the best two tandem running back combo in the league with Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. But if you get away from that game, you're relying on A.J. Green too much, and I feel like you become one-dimensional, it's just a recipe for disaster, and then your defense can't bail you out that much. And it's hard to criticize Andy Dalton, but maybe it's the game plan, but he has not lived up to the hype when it comes to the postseason, and everyone knows that. And I feel like this is probably the last year that people are going to let him slide without a playoff win.
Yeah, I don't think he slides at all this year. I think that whole coaching staff better do something, because The Bengals have been doing this for years. This isn't any, this isn't any fluke. They do this every year. And to give the owner credit, Lewis, my goodness, how long has he been there and not really went deep in the playoffs, you know? And he's not many coaches can stick around that long when doing that.
Yeah, I feel like he's one of, not the best, but he's probably up there in top 10 in coaching, just based on the fact of how he takes those kind of players and then just makes them elite. However, I feel like the pressure gets to him, and I mean, I haven't really seen much emotion. I personally like emotional coaches. I feel like they uplift the team, but more of those like laid back coaches like him, Joe Philbin, those guys like Mike Zimmer, who came from Marvin Lewis's tree, those guys just like, it feels like they're just disconnected from their team and their game. Like they'll show emotions like frustration with refs, but I mean, you saw it today with Rex Ryan. He'd come out on the field, congratulate his players. You see it from Pete Carroll. You see it from Mike Tomlin. They're always over there high-fiving their players and congratulating them. But I mean, he's good for technical wise. I just feel like to get over the hump, you're going to need someone who can get more emotionally attached with the players and get more out of them and then have a better game plan when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point. I think getting stuff out of your players is even tougher in San Francisco, getting demolished today, just getting hammered. The 49ers, what happened to them? Here's a team that was a hard-hitting defense. They had an offense. Kaepernick came in. He was lights out. And now this team's in total disarray, only putting up 7 points today and giving up 47 points. What the heck's going on in San Francisco? I can tell you what. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the players. They have a lot of issues with the players. But San Francisco, to me, so far this season, the biggest disappointment. I thought they were turning around, and that's a huge fall for them. I mean, as dominant as they were a few years ago, to see them play like they are now, I mean, Kaepernick just can't get nothing going. I mean, this whole offense can't get anything going, putting up 7 points. Like they're doing, I mean, I can't blame anyone but the coaches and probably the team. Maybe they're just not good anymore. It's going to take a while to probably get this team back to where they were. I tell you right now, Kaepernick better start figuring stuff out really quick because I said this last week, coming from the University of Nevada, he threw some, but they used his legs more, and we've seen this same thing happen to RG3. Team isn't that good. Players aren't playing well, but then you're pretty much exposed. I think he's exposed. I think no one's shocked by what he does anymore. I think he's got to change his game. I think the coaching staff has to play to his strength. I think they tried that, and it's just not working. What do you think is going to happen in San Fran? That's a big mess, and I think people aren't talking about it. But if you're the owner of that team, you got to wonder what the heck's going on. And, you know, I will say this till I'm blue in the face. I don't like Kaepernick. I don't like him. Look, he was exciting, but like I said all along, they catch up to you over time. They start figuring out what you do. They figure out what your strengths are. And now that they're caught up to him, he's not looking good at all. Neither is the whole team. What do you think happened there?
Well, I feel like San Francisco is just the place that no one wants to be. I think it started last season. I feel like it's not just the coaching staff. It's not just the players. I think it's the whole organization as a whole, the whole thing with the fallout of Jim Harbaugh. I feel like players that were under Jim Harbaugh kind of had trust issues or have trust issues now, and they don't look enthused about playing football. And, I mean, this is the second straight week that they got blown out. You can say that last week was a blowout because they got just punched in the mouth by a Pittsburgh Steelers team that, I mean, frankly, got run over by the Patriots week one, and then their only win of the year came from a Monday night game against the Vikings, which the whole first half looked like the worst game of football I've watched, of pro football that I've watched. And it's just really hard to watch because they do have good pieces. Like, you got Bowman still there, who I think is probably top three middle linebackers in the game, if not the best. And then you have the exciting piece on offense, and you have that new rookie or the second year running back of Hyde. And it's just hard to tell, but it just feels like their whole team is just not believing in each other. And they just ran into a freight train, which I've been saying all along is the Arizona Cardinals. You look at Carson Palmer as a Cardinals quarterback, he's playing absolutely lights out. And what people don't know is his actual record from starting a quarterback for the Cardinals is, I believe, up there with like 15 or 16 today in two.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is his ninth consecutive win as a starter for the Cardinals. And if he can stay healthy, I feel like the Cardinals are the team to beat in the NFL. Call me crazy because of what the Patriots are doing, putting up 51, 40, and what did they put up the first week against Pittsburgh? It was somewhere up the near of 35, 38 or whatever it was. But I just feel like Arizona's defense is just suffocating. They had two early interception returns for touchdowns against the 49ers. But their team is firing on all cylinders. You see Larry Fitzgerald is absolutely playing out of his mind like he's playing back when he was playing with Kurt Warner. But it's just a scary team to come out of the NFC. And if I'm anybody going into Arizona, I feel like I would lose because their team is just so well-rounded and probably the most well-rounded team in the whole NFL.
Yeah, they are. And when you want to break down Carson Palmer, this is, to me, the comeback player of the last few years. I mean, how many guys come back from knee surgeries? I mean, he had a devastating knee injury, comes back, bounced around a little bit, went to Oakland, found himself in Arizona then, and he's just looking good. I mean, I didn't buy what you were saying, but I watched them today. They're just dominant. I mean, they are a good football team. And you're right. I'm not going to go as far as say the team to beat the NFL yet. I'm going to wait till like week eight and make my decision. But in that division, I think you're right because there's no one really there to challenge them. And I think if they keep playing like this, I mean, everyone just turned back the clock on that team. Fitzgerald looks like he just, you know, he's his third year out of college, you know. These guys look pretty good, and you might be right. You know, that might be the team. All the big boys except for, actually, when you look at the big boys right now in week three, the Cardinals and you got the Patriots, who are really the two teams that are just dominating people, period. Besides that, you have a few other teams that are sneaking around there, but I don't know, man. I think you're right. Arizona might be there. Well, we got a caller calling in here. Welcome to Trenton White Sports. Tell me your name, where you're calling from. What's up?
Godfather, it's Money. What's happening?
What's going on, Money?
Nothing much, man. Good Bills win. Dominated. Kind of what I figured, but hey, we'll take it.
So, look, you heard Brandon and I talking about the games, but yeah, the Bills look good. You know, tell me what you liked, what you seen today.
I like the play on the offensive line, especially the interior. I thought the guards played well, really well. Eric Wood played excellent. He really didn't hear much from Ndamukong Suh as far as the broadcast crew. He might have had three, maybe four tackles in the entire game. They really neutralized that guy, and that was a big focal point going through for the whole week leap of practice leading up to the game. Really neutralizing him and kind of taking him out of the game, which I thought, you know, Incognito Miller and Wood did really, really well. I thought the pass protection was really good on the offensive line. You can tell that the communication is getting better with those guys. You really can. They're moving as a unit. And what can you say about Tyrod Taylor, man? He gets better every week. He got better after, you know, the first six or so series. He went three and out at, you know, in the Patriots game last week. He came out in the second half, got better. This week, he played great. So, you know, the offensive line and Tyrod Taylor – keep gelling as a unit, I think this Bills team can just keep getting better and better and better.
Well, that's a key point. Gelling as a unit, and that unit is led by Tyrod Taylor. And I will say this, like me and Brandon just talk about, EJ sitting there. If I'm EJ, I see this team coming together. I see them gelling. And Brandon had a great point. He said he feels EJ just didn't come in the right system. He think he's a good quarterback. Florida State's the only one of the only teams in college football who runs a pro-style offense. And Brandon thinks that maybe he came to the wrong place and this spread offense doesn't really fit him. If you're the Bills, you've seen Big Ben go down. I threw this out there. What do you think about calling the Steelers? Brandon, you know, countered that and said, well, you don't want to do that now because he's your backup. But, hey, it's football and it's a business. If you put that much faith in Tyrod, let's be honest, that's Rex's guy. Tyrod has to be pulled off on a stretcher before he gives up that starting spot, I feel. What do you think about that? I mean, that's a conversation that Brandon and I were having and got a few chats in from people who said pull the plug. I don't think you should pull the plug, but why not at least just see what the Pittsburgh Steelers got to say? Because guess what? He's out 4 to 6 weeks right – I mean 4 weeks right now. If it's a tear, he's out longer. So what do you think?
Who do you have behind Tyrod Taylor, though? That's my question. You know, you never want to think that, you know, are you starting quarterbacks going to get injured? But and that's a that's a kind of a defeatist way to think, in my opinion. But injuries happen in the NFL, man. You can't, I don't know, unless you get some good return from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I understand that they're in a big spot. They're in a tough spot because Michael Vick is nowhere near the quarterback he was even 10 years ago. And I'm sure they're already looking for something right now. But if I'm the GM, if I'm the owner of the Bills, I'm the GM, I'm not moving E.J. Manuel at all. And I do agree with Brandon that he did come into a bad spot here getting drafted when Marone was here, the wrong system. But from, you know, the games he was playing, and he just doesn't seem like he's able to scan the entire field and read the entire field. He's more reading half the field, and he's not able to make the reads, the pre-snap reads that Tyrod Taylor's able to make, that, you know, the NFL – NFL quarterbacks are supposed to be able to make, and I just don't see that from EJ. You know, I see a guy that's, you know, gifted athletically, that has, you know, huge arm, got good arm talent, you know, he can run, you know, he's big, he's strong, he's athletic. I just don't see a guy that really can grasp the way an NFL quarterback should play. He's not accurate enough, and he's not, he doesn't have the smarts to be able to read a defense, in my opinion, from what I've been, you know, we've seen over the last couple of years, Trent.
Brandon, what do you think about that comment there? That he doesn't feel he can read the field good enough. He feels Tyrod has a better grasp on the defense. What's your thoughts on that take?
I think that you have to give EJ the chance to. I feel like that only comes with the experience of playing out on the field. It's not going to come to you if you're just looking at pictures on the sideline, but EJ, I feel, has progressed in that respect, and his accuracy has gone up. I've watched the preseason game. I went to both the home games, and he really knew how to pick apart a defense. I mean, granted, it was against second stringers, and there weren't game plans, but he was throwing the ball well. The Charles Clay pass that he had against the Steelers was right on the money. He had a couple. I mean, the Panthers one where he dropped it right into Thompson's hands. I just felt like he's been better at it. He's recognized the safeties better. Maybe he hasn't made the adjustments in calling audibles. I haven't really looked into that much with EJ, but I feel like he's just progressing, and it was shown in the preseason. And to get better at it, I feel like you have to be on the field instead of just sitting on the sideline. And he needed to get his opportunity either here or somewhere else, but I don't feel like it will be here because I feel like Tyrod is Rex's guy, and he's going to ride him until he's out of Buffalo. So I feel
I
like
think
EJ's
he has two
best
things
move
against him, Brandon and G-Money. He has two things going against him. The Bills haven't been in the playoffs in 15 years, and where it started going downhill for him is when he got hurt that one season and he was on the bench. And I think when he came in, some people say he didn't do enough to justify his position. And coming into this year, I had said that this is a make-or-break year for him because the Bills aren't going to sit around and make it 16, 17 years. So if we went to the playoffs a few times, I see him probably getting a shot. People are like, okay, we got a new quarterback. Let's give him some time. I don't think there's no time in Buffalo. And when Tyrod looked good, don't forget, EJ was the guy, but Tyrod literally took it from him in the preseason. And like Brandon said, he felt he didn't get the right chance. But look, Tyrod's the guy, and the Bills just want to make the playoffs. If the Bills make the playoffs and lose the first round, they'll be happy with that because there's something to build on for next year. They want to get there, and I think they're going to go with the first quarterback that energizes the fans, that energizes the coaches, and that puts up numbers and manages the offense just enough with all those weapons to win. And I think that's where EJ's kind of he's behind the eight ball in this one because let's say Tyrod did get hurt today and he came in and he didn't put up, let's say, anything. He's really done then, so maybe it's better he doesn't see the field. But if he does, he has to do well. And G-Money and Brandon, look, he's in a tough spot. Look, you guys are hardcore Bills fans. You want to go to playoffs. You want to win. You want to be relevant. You want to be on that Saturday or Sunday game where people see the Buffalo Bills and you want to cheer for your team in the playoffs. They feel they can get there with Tyrod. And EJ, I think the fans gave up on him last year. I mean, people I talked to, nobody was real excited about him. And I don't think it's fair, but as a fan base who hasn't won in 15 years, that's going to happen, and they're going to jump on the first thing that looks good. And right now it's Tyrod. So, G-Money and Brandon, what do you guys got to say about that one? I just think it's coming down to, you know, fans are sick of losing, and it's been 15 years, guys. Understand how long 15 years is. 15 years. That is insane. That's crazy. That is a long streak, and I think the Bills are excited, and they're going to stick with this Tyrod and see if Tyrod can get him there.
You're damn right, Trent. It's been – I graduated high school, you know, before the Bills, you know, started this streak. So, there you go. And I was also in middle school when the Bills were going to their, you know, their Super Bowl run. So, you know, being a Bills fan in that time in the early 90s was so much fun. And, you know, they haven't won a playoff game since 1996. So it's tough. It's tough being a Bills fan. And, you know, Brandon, I know how old you are. You know, growing up, you know, kids like you, apologize for calling you a kid, but you are kind of to me. So it is what it is, man. You guys don't know winning, and I feel sorry for you guys. I really do. And you, whether it's fair or not to EJ, I'm sorry. I really don't care, because in the NFL, it's what have you done for me lately. It's winning is all that matters, and I don't care. You can't get attached to the person. You root for the team. You don't root for the person. You root for the name on the front of the jersey, not on the back. All right? If somebody goes down, somebody comes back in, you know, their backup comes in, plays well, awesome. Everybody's excited for it. Look at how much the Buffalo fans loved Frank Reich in the 90s, because he led the Bills to that comeback game against the Oilers. You know, I mean, Buffalo is a town of backups, you know. So as far as, you know, EJ not getting a good shot, I'm sorry. He got it. Even though it was 14 games, he's shown already that he can't do it. And with all due respect, Brandon, you're talking about preseason games as opposed to regular season games. And you even said it. He was up against second and third string defenses. Quarterback in the NFL, even backup second string, third string, that can't pick apart second or third string defenses in the preseason. So preseason performance against backups means nothing to me. Tyrod's the guy, without a doubt. I mean, he's shown it already in the regular season. Go ahead, Trent.
To Brandon's defense, you know, Tyrod has showed it. It's only been 3 weeks, though. I mean, Brandon last week, you know, comes at it as, you know, from the long haul. And, you know, he's a Bills fan. He's going to pull for him. But, you know, long haul, I mean, he's looking good to where you can't pull him. I'll say that. You can't pull the guy now. He has to really go downhill. But once again, I said this last week, he's a guy that's been sitting for a few years. He didn't get pushed in right away like EJ. And maybe this helps EJ in the long run when he goes to a different team, sitting and watching. He's not watching a veteran, but he's watching a guy who sat 4 years, who learned behind Joe Flacco. And maybe, you know, maybe that's a new formula. Maybe some guys just can't come in right away and be throwing him to the starting spot. Well, he wasn't really thrown in, but he was getting it pretty quickly against a guy who sat there and studied from Flacco, who won a Super Bowl, and studied behind some good coaches and different offenses. Maybe he was better prepared. Brandon, your response to G Money's discussion about, you know, Bills fans just want to win, and Tyrod's the guy.
I think that's exactly right. I think that it's just the Bills fans have become so sick of losing that they grasp towards any kind of excitement. They just wait for that moment that they're in the national spotlight again. When the trade happened with Sean McCoy, they're super excited because we're finally getting our names put everywhere and we have an electric player. And it's just, they just keep hopping off the different quarterbacks because they're just like, I need someone that gives me excitement. And I feel like EJ is not that kind of quarterback that's going to make the consistent 50-yard throws down the field and, you know, escape from three blitzers and run it for 15 yards. But I will say this. Tyrod, I felt like, didn't really win the quarterback competition in the preseason because, to me, it didn't look like he did much better than EJ did, and he was playing with the same people against similar competition. But EJ, I just feel like, hasn't really had that opportunity with consistent starters. You always look at him with different setups and everything. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him and say that he hasn't been getting a fair shot. But from what I've seen from him, I'm a big EJ fan, and I'm just a bigger Bills fan, so I'll take Tyrod if that's the Bills guy. But I do want to see EJ succeed, and what you said, it's more about the front of the jersey or the back. But for me personally, I like to see a guy that wasn't given a fair shake, quote unquote, because of where he came from and what he went into. It's just hard to see that. I feel
it wasn't really a fair competition. Yeah, Brand, you know, Brand's a fair point. You know, I see where you're coming from. I see where G-Money's coming from. But like I said, you know, look, listen, the longer this goes on, this is going to be like a festering wound. Eventually, if I'm EJ, I'm sitting there, I know when my number's up. And let's be honest, he's still young, and he could fit somewhere else, and I still do well. And if he can't do it, he'll be exposed when he goes to a different team. But this is going to become a problem. His agent may not speak up yet, G-Money, but he's going to say something eventually. And the problem is the Bills kind of put themselves in a wall, giving up Castle when Dallas needed it. And, man, that's a very tough position to be in, just because I know eventually he's not going to want to be here, guys. And the reason I talk about every week, it's going to happen. You know, he's a nice guy. He hasn't said the word yet. But you can't tell me he's not thinking about it.
Well, you can kind of read between the lines from his comments from the preseason. He already knows that he's probably going to be somewhere different next year. He's just kind of playing this season out, you know, kind of showing – he's showed what he could do in the preseason. Granted, it was against backups like me and Brandon were saying. But, you know – and if he thinks he's got talent, I mean, we all know he has talent. I'm sure there's a team that could pick him up, you know, that could, you know, that he could contribute to. Absolutely. You know, and if somebody calls, like you said, Trent, like the Steelers, you know, if they call and they offer something good, great. Let him go. You know, and I'd be a little bit worried because there's not going to be anybody behind Tyrod, but I'm sure you can pick up another backup on the scrap heap because there's a lot of backup quarterbacks that can come in here and just be, you know, backups, because that's all that they are. So, in a way, it is what it is for him. He knows where he is, and he's doing the right things, saying the right things. He's a good kid. You know, he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he'll do the right thing and be a good teammate for the whole season as long as he's here.
Well, I'm getting some great texts in, Sean and James saying, you know, you don't want to trade EJ at all, but, you know, Sean says, you know, you don't want to trade him because Tyrod's playing well, but it's only game three. Pretty much saying that if he goes down, EJ steps in. My question is, if that does happen, does the Bills' offense turn down a different road? Is it as explosive? Yes, they struggled against the Patriots, but they did. But then they exploded in the fourth quarter. Does this team, G-Money, because Brandon says he thinks they do, if not do better, do you think this team – offensively is a juggernaut, putting up points like they're doing this year. Do you think 41 points are what EJ does if he's at quarterback with the Bills today?
No, I thought that's a good question. It's tiered answer as far as, you know, in my opinion. No, I don't think so, because I don't think – like with Tyrod sitting behind, you know, Flacco learning the offense, which I think that's what EJ should have been doing. And I think it's just too bad because, you know, you had the injury to, what was his name, 2 years ago?
Cobb.
Somebody help me. Cobb, thank you.
Kevin Cobb.
Kevin Cobb, yeah. And if Kevin Cobb does not get injured in the preseason, gets a concussion, he's playing. He's a starter. And EJ, they drafted him as a project to learn. Sit behind Cobb and play. That would have been the perfect situation for EJ Manuel. So, yes, he hasn't had the right development. Marone screwed him up, telling him not to, you know, not to be himself, you know, protect the ball. Don't take chances. Don't throw the ball into double coverage. Don't throw it into tight coverage, which if you're a quarterback in the NFL and can't throw it into tight coverage, then you shouldn't be playing in the NFL. So you're kind of just – it's kind of like a double negative there. And I think with EJ in there and with most backups, I think you're relying heavily on the run. I don't think you're going to score as many points because, you know, throwing through the air, you know, you're going to score a lot quicker. It's going to be a higher scoring offense like you're seeing with the Bills. But yeah, like they're going to rely heavier on the run if EJ's in there, and it's going to be a little bit more watered down offense, I think.
Oh, gee, money. I just heard what you said and caught that. You called EJ a backup. So you're pretty much saying right now, Tyrod's the guy, EJ is his backup, period, even in week three.
Yes. Yes.
Brandon, what do you think about that? I mean, he's saying right now, I've seen him as a backup. I was saying he was on the bench right now. Tyrod's playing well, but do you see him the same way G Money sees him, as a straight up backup? And, you know, just he's a backup
for the Bills. I mean, for the Bills, he's a backup for the Bills.
Hey, Brandon,
yeah, I'd have to agree with him. I think that EJ's numbers his days are numbered here in Buffalo. I think he won't get another start unless Tyrod does go down. And I have to put some of the blame on the fan base because, I mean, when I watch the games and EJ throws an errant pass, it's up, same old EJ, slips, where was that going to? But then you see Tyrod make some of these throws and it's just like, oh, well, he'll get the next one, or that was just a good coverage or something like that. I just feel like the Bills fan base has gotten tired of EJ. They've already seen what he can do. It's not anything new for what they're used to. I don't see Rex dropping Tyrod, even if he does not play up to par these next couple of weeks, because you've seen it with the Jets and Geno Smith, and Rex is one of those guys that are just going to be like, I'm going to ride this guy out until I'm getting carried or fired out of Buffalo. So I feel like EJ probably won't have another start under center unless Tyrod were to go down with injury.
Wow, this is a great debate, and I think a lot of people probably don't want to talk about it, but this is a good debate because you have some people. I've got two texts right now who said EJ should be a starter. They really believe in this EJ guy, you guys. They believe in EJ, and you have some hardcore EJ Manuel fans who might agree with you, Brandon, saying he hasn't got a fair opportunity. But at the same time, you know, both just said that, you know, the past coach messed him up. But, see, here's my thing with that comment right there, saying a coach messed him up. If you got it, if you can read defenses, and if you can play a position, and if you're ready, even if a coach screws you up while he was here, that still shouldn't linger when another coach comes in, though. You know what I'm saying? I think that, that may be an excuse, but I don't know, man. I mean, as a rookie, yeah, you can screw up a guy while you're there, but when you go, that game plan's gone. You have a new guy with a different game plan. And from what I understand and from what I'm seeing and hearing from people, EJ never grasps it on, but you have guys like Brandon who say, look, he wasn't given a fair shot, but if you're decent enough, you got to be able to adjust. He's in the first quarterback that's been drafted by one guy who's young, and then another guy comes in. The good ones can make that transition, so maybe it's a little bit deeper than this. Brandon, I'll give you your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that he has, and he would have, if he would have gotten the opportunity, he would have proven people wrong that it was just the system he was in, because it took Ben Roethlisberger, whatever, like 8 years to finally become into the 4,000-yard passer that we know him to be today. And I'm not going to say that the coaching staff messed him up, and it probably didn't, but I feel like he hasn't been given the opportunity to play in a pro-style system like Greg Roman is. And I feel, like I said before, that Greg Roman would be the perfect offensive coordinator for EJ. Maybe Greg Roman makes the case for being a head coach this year and goes somewhere else next year and tries to trade for EJ, because EJ would fit his system perfectly and using the tight ends. And I feel like EJ needs that kind of weapon and that kind of system to produce the way that people expected him to produce out of college, being drafted the 16th overall. But I'm not going to sit here and make excuses and say that the coaching staff messed him up. I'm just making the point that he hasn't had that second opportunity yet, aside from that coaching staff. So it's not so much that he's messed up mentally, but I want to see what he can do in a different system and not in preseason.
All right, that's a good point. Now, G-Money, I'm going to give you a different scenario and also want your comments on what Brandon just said. You look at a guy like Kaepernick. Jim Harbaugh's there. Now, was it Harbaugh? Or was it the team around him, because he's struggling this year? So, I mean, this is a very good thing to think about. Is it ever the quarterback, or is it the coaching staff or the offensive coordinator? Because when you look at Kaepernick, did he look good because he's in a good system with good players? Because if you look at him now, he looks nothing like the guy of a few years ago. So did the defenses catch up to him and he can't adjust? Or is it the coach? Because does the coach affect the play of a quarterback, or does the quarterback affect the way that he plays if he can't adjust to the new defenses as he goes on in the NFL? That's a good question, because what I'm just hearing right now with EJ, let's be honest, maybe the coach did mess him up. But my point is that you know, other quarterbacks go through that, but is it more so when you're young, not established yet, do you get messed up during coaching changes, G-Money?
You do. I think so. I think the one of the biggest things that is the problem with Colin Kaepernick is Greg Roman is no longer there. I think he knew how to utilize Kaepernick's skill set, his ability to run, his ability to make plays with his legs, and that's his biggest attribute. We all know Colin Kaepernick's not the most accurate passer. He's not the most talented passer as a quarterback in the NFL. He's not. He makes plays with his legs. He extends plays with his legs. That's what he does. I mean, he's that kind of quarterback. And like you said, Trent, that kind of quarterback is going by the wayside. And, quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, like Tyrod Taylor, are a little bit different. Yes, they both can run. They both can make plays with their legs. But they look to throw the ball first. If you're looking at Colin Kaepernick, he's a guy that looks to run first, looks to run out of the pocket. He doesn't know how to manipulate the pocket. He doesn't know how to stand up. He doesn't know how to, stand up in the pocket. Make his own pocket. That kind of what Tyrod Taylor was doing last week, making mistakes. Moving laterally instead of standing up in the pocket and making your own pocket. And that's, he made the adjustment. He's smart. He made the adjustment this week, did those things today that he, the mistakes, he atoned for those. And that's his big problem. I mean, he's just a gimmick quarterback. He's a wildcat quarterback. That's all Kaepernick is and ever will be, in my opinion.
All right, Brandon, your comments on that there about the coaching staff making the guy, or, is it a situation where what I talked about last week that, these guys who run first, they're exciting at first, but if you want to, follow them long term, you're going to see what's happening to Kaepernick, and you can even throw RG3 in there. Like, what's his excuse, I mean, these guys aren't going to be around, I think, in 5 years. I mean, you want a mobile quarterback, but you don't want a guy that's going to run first, and then when it comes time to where he has no more legs or the defense catches up to him, they can't use their brain to figure out how to play the game in the NFL. So, just talking about what G-Money said, what's your thoughts on that, and do you have any disagreements with that?
Kaepernick, I feel like what you just said with RG3 aren't going to be around much more, because it takes a special breed of quarterback to not be affected by the system. And you can talk about Tom Brady with Aaron Rodgers, with Peyton Manning. They kind of made their own system and their own offense. Granted, you can have whoever there. You had Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, whoever with Tom Brady. And I feel like it's been the same old Tom Brady throughout all the years. I feel like it's a mixture of both. You got to have the talent of the quarterback work with the personnel of what the coaches are giving them. And I just feel like that Colin Kaepernick and RG3 have to be in that very specific system that can boost their attributes that they're good at and then kind of hide what they're not so good at. Right now it's showing that Colin Kaepernick cannot thrive in a system where it's not led by Greg Roman or someone that knows how to exploit his talents, but kind of more of hide the weaknesses of Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. That's a great point because, you watch the NFL and you see more and more pocket guys being successful, and that leads me to maybe Chad Kelly, who's going to get drafted in the league eventually. And he kind of plays like Tyrod. Tyrod knows Russell Wilson type guys. I'm not saying he's them, but he looks first and he could run. I think the NFL is going to slowly turn to it. I've been saying this all along. I want a quarterback that could pick you apart first. If the pocket breaks down and I got to move, I can move. That's it. I don't want you to break 90 yarders. I don't want you to look fancy and get everyone excited and seeing the highlights of you running. I don't want that, because then you become a running back with the football who's my quarterback. And guess what? When you run, you're going to get hit, and you're going to get hit like a running back, and you're going to break down. You're not going to last long. And when your legs go, now I depend on your brain, which never was programmed to pick apart defenses because you use your legs. So that's just a common thing for those guys. Do you feel bad for them? Yeah, you do, because they probably were taught that. The colleges exploited that. It worked in college. It doesn't work in the NFL. You see guys like Andy Dalton, who can't run, save his life, but he knows how to play quarterback. He can pick apart defense. Cincinnati's looking good this year. Look at all the quarterbacks. Guys who we probably don't think about, guys who are probably unsung, and G-Money and Brandon, you guys know those kind of guys who are boring but can throw stays in the league for a very long time. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. Can't run. Yes, he's a Harvard grad. Point is he the best quarterback? No, but he's good enough to start on the team and get you wins, and he can read defenses. He'll make those mistakes because he's not a star, but he's a solid starter, I feel, and I think the quarterbacks should be something like him. If you're not great, be someone like freaking Fitzpatrick, who's been in the league who knows how long, who could probably stay in five more years if he stays healthy, just because he's smart enough to know the game. And I feel we're going to, you know, the jury's out on Tyrod. You know, Tyrod, you know, got another test. Tell your guys to relax. It's only week three. They, you know, some people are thinking this is all going to go away. Some people think this is a gimmick what Tyrod's doing. And I think they're wrong because he showed that he can pick apart a defense a bit. He's still getting into it. He still throws some picks once in a while. But he can throw the ball downfield. So I don't know why everyone is sending me these texts saying, hey, you know, relax. It's only week three. I think they're not giving them
maybe they should.
They
maybe they should call in.
Split among Bills fans, guys, about is it Tyrod or EJ, G-Money?
Maybe, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but these people that are texting in, maybe they should call in and debate us because I want to hear people disagree with me, you know? But the tail of the tape and the numbers speak for themselves. Tyrod Taylor right now, I mean, if they're not, he's not blowing up the world with numbers, but, I mean, if we at the beginning of the season were going to say that our starting quarterback was 48 of 68 for 715 yards, seven touchdowns, he's got over 100 quarterback rating through three of these games, and he's completing over 70% of his passes. You tell me that's garbage. Yeah, you can tell me that's only three games in, but that's still really friggin' good. And these people that are calling saying relax, I'm not saying he's blowing up the world, but he's playing really good football right now.
Yeah, he is.
You can't discredit that.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, you know, like I said last week, you're going to start to see a split among Buffalo Bills fans, and it's amazing to me that it's going to be a split because the Bills look good. Today's team looked like a playoff team, and the fans still find something to fight about. What is your take on this whole thing? Because it's going to happen. I know GR is going to try to, you know, make some on it late, but it's happening right now, and we're talking about it right now. Look, it's going to happen. You're in the corner of EJ. You made your case for EJ. You're pulling for, you know, Tyrod because he's quarterback of your team. But in the back of your mind, Brandon, do you think this is a long-term solution and he's the real deal for the long term? Or do you think, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see till week eight. Let's wait until it gets, you know, bad weather. Let's wait until the teams get tougher. Let's wait until it matters, when each game matters. In the back of your mind, what's going through your head as you hear this?
I'm kind of stuck in between, and the only reason is because I would like to see Tyrod develop more as one of those cerebral quarterbacks, which, once again, come a dime a dozen, but, I mean, not a dime a dozen, but what you got to understand is that these are Bills fans probably, and they're used to this. We've started out hot. We've had Ryan Fitzpatrick before, and he started off the season like this. The only difference is I just want to see what Tyrod can do. I feel like when I'm watching him, his eyes kind of freeze downfield, and then he'll go to the smart route and he'll throw it. But I don't know if it's because he's looking off safeties, but he is picking defenses apart a lot better than what I expected him to do. And the other thing is this team is built to win now, and I think the story, like G Money said, was the offensive line, and also because of Carlos Williams and how he runs the ball. And I feel like it just takes so much pressure off of Tyrod. And if we can get through winning games 41-14 with Tyrod Taylor only throwing as many yards or as many touchdowns as he did today, then I'll be perfectly happy with it. And I feel like Tyrod has those players behind his back, and he is the leader of that offense without question. There is no second voice that's second to him and just commanding that offense with him. But I feel like Tyrod is the real deal. It's just I want to see him develop more as a passer to get to that 300-level mark because I'm at the 300-yard level mark, but I feel like he's produced enough to show me that this is the real deal and that this should be a playoff team this season.
Well, you guys have great points, and I'm you know, my jury lasts a little bit longer. You know, I'm my jury's on the Bills, you know, later on. My jury's on a bunch of teams right now, you know, and quarterbacks and players who are playing good. But I tell you what, guys, I will say this. At least you have a discussion about a real quarterback, which you haven't had in so many years. There was a time, G Money and Brandon, where Fitzpatrick was like almost a god in Buffalo because it was so bad before him that he looked like a saint. He looked like the Pope that just left the U.S. today. I mean, this guy was all over the place because you were winning. G Money, you can remember there's some bad quarterbacks here. I mean, some jokes. Some jokes. Who we could sign Trent Edwards. Where's Trent Edwards right now? What's he doing?
Nothing.
Down in Shore.
I don't even know.
Who knows?
He was playing for Oakland last year, I think, right?
So, you barely seen him. He wasn't even holding a clipboard. He was benched so far. That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, look.
Yep. J.P. Lossman.
You guys have a quarterback now. You guys have, okay, let's say you have two quarterbacks, and you have a good discussion. You never had that in a long time, and I think this is something that Bills fans need to relax on. G-Money likes Tyrod. You know, Brandon's kind of, you know, the EJ guy, but he'll stick with Tyrod if they're winning. And so are so many other fans, Sean and James, you know, guys who just, you know, text me and said that. They get it. You know, it's a discussion, but I feel it's a good discussion because for years, you couldn't even have that discussion. There was a time where you guys were looking for a quarterback. You don't want to be in my spot and be an Eagles fan where you win a game today, but I am not a Bradford guy. You know, that doesn't sound like a quarterback name to me. I don't like him so much to where his name bothers me. My Eagles stink. We gave all of our good stuff to you. McCoy, okay, whatever. We need him right now. Yeah, Murray's doing okay, but, you know, our team isn't what it used to be. I mean, so you got to sit in good. Look, I'll say it right now. I think the Bills are a playoff team. I think they make the playoffs. I think they got to stay healthy. And as you both know, no matter how good the Bills do, around week 8, week 10, whatever, everyone starts getting hurt like clockwork. You start losing important guys. And this time, you know, I think you guys are going to be fine. You guys look pretty good. The defense is good. The problem is you got the New England Patriots who show no signs of slowing down. With guys, let's be honest, they get guys who some people just want to throw in the trash heap and forget about. I tell you what, Tom Brady's so good to where I think if you put him in his offense, he turns his offense around. As much as I can't stand him, but I got that argument. I think it's a ridiculous one, but some say he's a system guy. I'll never really understand that, but maybe he is. He's been the same coach for so many years, and they've been winning, and the formula works, and no matter who they bring in, G Money and Brandon, me, us three can go to the Patriots and be productive in that offense. How, I don't know, but Tom Brady makes it happen. Brandon, really quick here. G Money, I'm going to ask you a baseball question too, but I want Brandon's opinion. The Bills have a good problem. You don't know who to start. You have two young, good quarterbacks, and one may be better than the other, or the guy on the bench may be better than the starter, but you have a good problem. Isn't it good to finally have a problem like that?
Yeah, but you don't want to get too high up on the backup because then you're pushing the starter, where I feel like competition is not good for that one position because you're always looking over your right shoulder, and that was the problem with a lot of quarterbacks and why it seems like they falter so much. However, it is exciting because we finally have someone that if Tyrod were to go down or to stop playing well, then I'd be perfectly okay with EJ stepping in and taking over. Not saying that I think that's going to happen because I don't, but it is reassuring to finally, like you said, talk about and have this discussion that maybe we could have two quarterbacks that if we do start going downhill, that we can possibly salvage our season because we do have that one good backup that can step in and produce and win games. In my opinion, that EJ can do that.
Yeah. Brandon, I like your loyalty because I can tell you right now, I mean, some people won't agree with that, and that's fine. But I'm in the middle. Look, I'm in the middle. I have no horse in this race. But just from you and G Money talking, there's clearly a divide on the quarterbacks, and some of you are just deferring to the quarterbacks because you know Tyrod's the starter. But deep down, Brandon, I can tell EJ's your guy and G Money, Tyrod's your guy. But what Brandon just said, G Money, before I let you go, but before I ask you this baseball question, you know, hey, what do you think about that? I think there's a clear divide in the fan base, which I think is kind of ridiculous, but not really, because those people, Not just Brandon. A lot of people probably feel that same way, that E.J. wasn't really given a chance, and Rex Ryan likes the quarterback style of Tyrod. And Tyrod has put up the numbers to back up his claim as a starting quarterback. But your comments on what Brandon said, and am I wrong about the clear divide? Because I'm sure you have friends, G-Money, fans are liking Tyrod, but you might find that one or two people you talk to who like E.J.
Yeah, and I completely agree there's a divide, and I don't understand why. Because me, personally, I'm a Tyrod guy because we're winning frigging games. That's why, first and foremost, without a doubt. And he is putting up the numbers. So I don't – see, here's the thing with Bills fans. We've been kicked down, beaten down. We've had our asses beat by the Patriots for the last 15 years. Haven't been to the playoffs in 15 years. Haven't had a good quarterback since Jim Kelly retired in 1996, all right? We're always waiting for that fall. We're always waiting for the team to fall off the cliff. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. My comment to the fans is, and I said this on my show on Monday last week, why can't we finally just have fun with this season? Why? Yeah, we lost to the Patriots. Fine. Everybody does. Who cares? Get to the playoffs. Let's have some fun. Let's have a party. This is supposed to be fun. Football and in sports is entertainment. We haven't had fun as a sports fan base in years. And it's time. It's about time that we were able to have some goddamn fun for once. I'm sorry. These fans, these defeatist fans, these fans that are talking about losing and talking about the backup should start, stop it. We're winning games. We're having fun. Let's enjoy this ride for as long as it lasts.
Hey, well said by Bills fans. You know, you and Brandon got great points on both sides. I think, I think this show's going to do well when people hear it because it's going to open up a lot of eyes. You know, it's like my boy Trump in the election. You know, he's a Republican and people don't like him, but he's actually doing well. So let it go. I kind of get that, man. I kind of get it. But really quick, before I talk more football, baseball. You're a big baseball guy, and you see the Toronto Blue Jays wrapped it up. Yankees are four games behind. Are you glad to see some of these teams who were down a few years finally come back and make the postseason?
Absolutely. It's nothing but good for baseball. You know, especially in a town like Toronto, who's been dying for a good team for over 20 years. First time they made the playoffs in 22 years when they won the World Series in 93. You know, they went back-to-back, 92-93. A town like Kansas City, it's a great baseball town. Great baseball town. They have an awesome team, all right? You got another great story, you know, in Chicago with the Cubs. I mean, they're going to the playoffs. I mean, they got a really good, exciting team. They got some good pitching, you know, with John Lester and Arrieta. You know, that they could go far. They could make some noise there. And, you got teams like, you know, St. Louis, they're the Cardinals. They're always going to be good. Great baseball town. So it's like teams that have been down for years, Trent, it is nothing but good for baseball. You're going to drum up young fans now, young fans in Toronto finally seeing a winning team, young fans in Kansas City finally seeing a winning team. And Kansas City's been garbage for years. But finally, you know, they went to the World Series last year. They got the best record in the American League this year. You know, Chicago, the Cubs, you know, you could drum up more young fans there. It's nothing but good because baseball has kind of been on the decline. You know, you got to get younger fans back into the game. And it's great. It's exciting.
Yeah, and Brandon, you know baseball, but not a big guy. It's kind of good to see when baseball, you know, which, you know, you're seeing the Yankees and the same teams, and you got these younger teams, these teams that are finally getting a shot. You know, it's good to see when you have a mix-up. I think having the same teams all in the playoffs kind of get boring, but, you know, when you see these teams coming up like the Cubs, which I'm shocked right now, I'll be honest with you, I know enough baseball, and I didn't see the Cubs doing this. I think Madden has done a great job with that team. Brandon, really quick, do you think it's good that baseball seeing some new faces in the postseason?
Yeah, like G-Money said, I think it's just nothing but good for baseball, and it's really good for trying to attract more younger fans, like you said, because, I mean, you have fan bases that are just used to the Yankees, and now you have the Mets winning that NL East, and you have the Cubs, and you have like he said, the Blue Jays, who haven't made the postseason in 22 years since I was born in 93. So, I mean, it's good because people who don't like those tyrannical teams like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cardinals that just keep making it over and over again. We can go on about this in any sport. You can say it with the Patriots or the Spurs and the Lakers. Well, not so much the Lakers anymore, but like the Spurs that consistently make the playoffs. And you see the new teams that are challenging them, and it's always new. So I think it just makes for more exciting Octobers for baseball, and it's good to see it in more sports than just possibly football that we're used to.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. You know, we're flipping the NBA. G Money, I know you're busy. I hear a little change in the background. He's, who knows what he's doing right now. But really quick, G Money, you know, Brandon wasn't around when – you know, G Money, believe it or not, Brandon, he was a big Miami Heat guy, and he knows baseball. I mean, basketball, but it's not his first sport. But I will tell you this: when the Heat were in the playoffs, G Money watched almost every game. And you know, we're gonna talk some NBA real quick here. Once you go, Money, but what do you think about the upcoming NBA season? And do you see Golden State doing what they did last year? I don't see it. I don't think so. I think the West is gonna be too tough. But from last year, you know, do you see Golden State shooting their way to another title?
No, like I said, I'm going to reference this in the beginning. I'm not a big basketball guy, so, you know, excuse me if I'm wrong about anything. But I would say as far as perimeter shooting, I mean, it's up and down. You know, it's kind of a roller coaster ride. And I think Golden State kind of rolled that roller coaster ride all the way through the playoffs. I mean, they're a great team. And they just, when you get a hot shooter, he keeps getting it, keeps knocking them down. You know, you keep riding it, but all of a sudden that shooter can go cold, and that team can, I think, can suffer from it. So I agree with you, Trent. I think that the West is going to be strong. I think the East is going to be strong too. And you got to look at Cleveland first. There, in my opinion, you know, they're going to be tough again.
I will say this: nothing like when LeBron was with the Heat, though, man. That was because everyone wanted him to lose, and I don't care. I would love to see the ratings. You can't tell me that they didn't set records for the Heat against whoever in the playoffs because everyone hated LeBron so much, and they wanted them to lose. But that Heat team was awesome. I got an argument a few days ago. I said you could put that Heat team right there, you put that to me. You put that back with Jordan's Bulls or whoever, and I think they could play with those guys. We seem to forget quickly how good that team was. That was a good basketball team. But with LeBron, you had Wade, you had Bosch. You had the Birdman. I mean, you had guys coming off the bench. To me, that was the best team I've seen. And I'm talking to Spurs, too, who beat them in the last year. To me, that was the most exciting team, the most talent I've seen on one team in a very long time. And Brandon, I don't know, man. Look, Golden State was good. But when the Heat were playing at the top of their game, that was, to me, almost an unstoppable team.
Yeah, the Heat of a few years back when they went back-to-back. The year that they beat the Spurs, that they came back, I felt like was the most talent they ever had on their team. I think it was really good for basketball ratings in general. I feel like since LeBron was such a polarizing player, either you loved him or you hated him, you wanted to see him succeed or you just absolutely wanted him to fail. I think it was just good for the sport because so many people just tuned in just to watch that storyline. But I will say this, that about your comment about Golden State repeating, I feel like what G-Money said was exactly right. I think that Golden State lives and dies by the jump shot. Now, granted, they have people and players like Draymond Green, and they have a good system there with Steve Kerr, but I feel like if you're going to be consistent in the NBA, you got to have interior presences like the West does with DeAndre Jordan, like a Tim Duncan, and, I mean, you got Anthony Davis and all those big trees that you have in the West. So, Golden State, you have to say that they're favorite because they have the reigning MVP on their team, but other than that, I don't see them repeating. And if I were to put the Golden State Warriors of last year against the Miami Heat of maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I still feel like the Heat would beat them.
Oh, definitely. And G-Money, before you go, that's a great point because – who was going to cover LeBron? Wade was dangerous. You had Bosch, a big man that could take you out to the three and hit a three on you. You're right. And most guys won't agree with that, but I think that Miami Heat team against that Golden State team, to me, I mean, to me, I think the Heat were just too much for everybody. I mean, the Heat, the only problem with them is they ran into a good Spurs team, and, you know, and that's fine. And that's fine. You know, the Spurs wanted revenge, and that was kind of the end of their run before LeBron came back to Cleveland. But you're right. I mean, that Heat team to me was the best team I've seen in 10 years, maybe 15 years, dude. I mean, that's how much I like that team. Before you go, G-Money, I think Brandon's right. The Heat beat that Golden State team that won last year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, too. And it's really a shame that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love were injured for that series, because
oh, yeah.
I think that completely changed the entire makeup of that whole series. I think it would have been so much better of a series. It was compelling as it was, you know, just seeing kind of LeBron pretty much single-handedly putting the Cavaliers on his back. And almost, I mean, could you imagine if they would have won that series? I mean, you're talking about LeBron. We're already talking about LeBron as one of the best players of all time. And
yeah.
if he wins that series, he would have single-handedly won it by himself. And,
oh,
and
sure.
that would have been amazing. And it's just
yeah.
too bad. I mean, I think it would have been a completely different series if those two players weren't hurt.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because Iguodala got, MVP or something. I'm like, wait a minute, LeBron like 40 points a game. How was he MVP? I didn't get it, but, you know, hey, whatever. But all right, G-Money, I know you're busy. I'll let you go. But what are we doing Monday? You have a show Monday or this week? I'm back on Wednesday. What are you doing Monday?
Yeah, Monday at 8 o'clock. We're going to do the Monday Night Quarterback. As usual, we're going to be doing that every week. We're going to break down the Bills' big, you know, kind of deconstruction of the Miami Dolphins, you know, 41-14 win, the big win. See what we got going forward next week against the Giants. So everybody should tune in tomorrow at 8 p.m.
All right, G-Money. Thanks a lot, man.
Take it easy. Later, Brandon.
All right, Brandon. We're going to go ahead and finish these last 8 minutes talking about some NBA here. And NBA season is going to be here before we know it. We just had a quick taste about, you know, Golden State. I think they will not repeat. I think they were lucky to win that title last year. As much as I was pulling for them, because I'm not a big Cleveland guy, but I wasn't pulling for Cleveland, and Golden State did just enough, and I think you made a point. You put Love and Kyrie Irving in that series, maybe they still win, because I think with Love in the game, Love would have slowed it down and been taking perimeter shots also. He would have been a presence inside with his boards. But Kyrie Irving, I think, even with Love out, would have been the difference in that series that might have turned the tables, because LeBron would have had a real guy to go to instead of Della Ladova. To go to for points, and I think Cleveland wins that series if Irving is healthy. Golden State, I give them credit. To me, they're too small. They're not going to be able to contend with the Spurs. They may beat them a few times in regular season playoffs. I don't see how they beat the Spurs. I don't see how they beat the Thunder with a heavy Kevin, with a healthy Kevin Durant. I don't see how they beat a few teams. I think you had the pretenders and the teasers like the Clippers. I am not fans of the Clippers. I've been saying all along, they remind me of like the Cincinnati Bengals. They'll do well in the season. When it comes to the playoffs, they kind of fade away. I'm not excited about the team at all. I think even with DeAndre Jordan, they don't make a dent. They're not going to the finals out the West. And I just think that team's destined just to be who they are. I see Utah making some strides. I like that team. You know, they didn't do well last year. I see Utah coming back and doing something. The Portland Trailblazers, I think they're going to – that's a huge loss losing Aldridge. It makes them weaker. It makes the Spurs, who are already strong, stronger. Even though they're old, it gives Pop more tools to work with. So what do you see out West before we go to the East?
Well, I can't wait, because this is going to be an exciting season, because if you don't think that the Clippers are going back to the NBA or going to the NBA Finals, they're going to have a lot of good debates, because I believe they are the favorite in the West, maybe behind the Golden State Warriors, but not by much. I feel like the additions that they had this offseason with who I believe is the best coach in basketball, even over Greg Popovich with Doc Rivers. I feel like they've added the right pieces, and they just got too full of themselves at the end of that Houston series. But with the adding of Paul Pierce and Josh Smith and just making that team more experienced in the playoffs, and the force of DeAndre Jordan and getting him back was probably the biggest move of the offseason for anybody. And the most important, but I really feel like the Clippers are going to be up there, if not winning the NBA Finals next year.
I don't know. You know, I've gave them 3 years to where I actually had them, you know, 2 years to where I thought they were going to do something. And I don't know, man. I just think the West, I mean, I'm telling you right now, the Thunder, with Durant, if he's not hurt, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And I tell you what, San Antonio, they won't have the best record in the league, but they'll be primed just enough. Because what Pop's going to do, he's such a good coach, he's going to get them the game, sit them, and keep them in the right position for like the one or two or three spot. I don't care what seed they're in. Nobody's going to want to face the Spurs with Aldridge. And Golden State. I think this is the year you see them just being too small inside. I think right now you're picking the Clippers. Look, I like Griffin. I like Paul. I like Jordan. I just don't see it. They got to prove to me that they could do it. But you know they're going to be there. I just don't think they stay there too long. I just don't see them getting by. Like if they're in a series against the Spurs with Aldridge, I just don't see it. Jordan, I criticized him for years. I said, yes, he's a good defender. He does this, he does that. But he hasn't showed me, I don't know, man. You know, he's funny, you know, because I like him. I use him in 2K. I think he's a good center. But, I mean, it's almost like Howard. I think Howard, to me, his best days are behind him. He, to me, hasn't been playing well at all. I look at Houston and say, Houston's a, I don't see them winning. Yeah, they'll make the playoffs, but I don't see them winning anything.
Yeah, I agree with you because I feel like what you said, I feel like DeAndre Jordan has become more of a liability, but you can't argue his natural skill set and his size to be a force to be reckoned with down there. But Houston is just a confusing team to me because one day you'll get Dwight Howard of old, and maybe that's one game out of like every five, which is kind of disappointing because you're used to seeing him dominate teams. I remember when he had that whatever it was, like the 40 free throw game back when he was in Orlando or whatever it was. But yeah, I just feel like Houston will go as far as James Harden will take them, and
yeah,
they don't really have that skill set, that team bond. And I always feel like Dwight Howard is that Terrell Owens of basketball and just the cancerous piece to the team that could be good.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We got 2 minutes, 30 seconds here. Go to the East real quick. My pick in the East right behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's tough, but I'm going to go with the Wizards. I think the Wizards probably make the playoffs. I mean, probably go farther in the playoffs if, you know, Wall was healthy. I think he hurt his hand or something. His wrist it was. I like Wall. I like that team. You can't tell me that the Wizards aren't going to be somewhere around there. I think the Atlanta Hawks are frauds. You know, I thought they pretty much, I don't know. I mean, they kind of disappointed me last year. When you look at the East, though, who really is there? I mean, it's not going to be – I mean, what? The Nets? No. The Knicks? No. The Wizards? Toronto?
No.
Cleveland? I mean, you gotta go with the Wizards challenging LeBron. I mean, I can't go with anyone else because to me, everyone else is a mess.
Yep, I completely agree. I was gonna say the same thing. I put the Wizards right behind Cleveland, but the only problem is I don't see anybody on the Wizards that's gonna cover LeBron if they do meet up in the playoffs. Toronto,
yep,
I've always felt is like an overrated team that's just slipping by in the East because they have no real force to be reckoned with them on their team because, I mean, they got pieces just like Atlanta, but there's no one you look at on their team and just go, I'm scared of that guy and we need to make sure we stop him. And you're always going to have the same thing with Chicago. Maybe if D. Rose can stay healthy and if he can produce as well as he did back in his MVP days, which I don't think will happen.
Right.
I don't think you really have another favorite outside of Cleveland and possibly Washington, but it's scary because Washington, I don't feel like has the personnel to match up with Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have the personnel, but they're going to be right there. And I don't know, maybe there's going to be a move made. You know, it's Cleveland's division to lose. I think they'll win the Eastern Conference. I don't think they win in the finals, depending on who they face. But Chicago's another big debate. I wanted to bring up the situation on should Rose step aside and just let Butler lead this team. That's another debate we need to talk about. But, Brandon, man, thanks for coming on. Good topics today, good stuff. We'll talk to you again this week. We'll have a show Tuesday, and we are going to talk some more football and NBA, hit some college football, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you for having me.
All right. That was Brandon, my co-host. We will see you guys Tuesday. G-Money with a show Monday night. Check them out, 8 o'clock. Have a good day, guys.